This is a Studio B production.
Come one, come all to a beautiful show. It's gonna be awesome and some other stuff. Some other musical stuff.
Welcome into episode 11 of Talk Music to Me. The website is talkmusictomeslc.com. I am Alan.
And I am Jess.
And we're back after another long hiatus.
Yeah.
It seems to be a theme. Every time we record, it seems like we're always apologizing for being gone so long.
I know, you guys. It's mostly my fault, though.
I got too much shit going on. But we got a big show. No guest on this episode.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be us. We went to a couple concerts that we're going to talk about. We went to see Queens of the Stone Age, and we went to see I the Mighty.
Yep.
And there are some more shows coming up, I think. I haven't looked at the calendar recently, but I think there's a bunch coming up.
There are a bunch coming up.
That we will definitely hit on. And then we're going to spend the majority of the episode, as usual, talking about what we have been listening to recently. My list isn't very long. Yours is a lot more diverse than mine, and you have a longer list than mine.
I was trying to be prepared, because with the other episodes when we have guests, I always cut it down.
Right, right.
And then you're adorable because you're like, no, wait, there was one more.
Every time.
There's one more. And so I was prepared this time to have actually more. And they're kind of all over the place-ish.
Well, let's get into it. So where do you want to start? Let's start. We're going to actually, we figured this off mic. You're going to start.
Yes.
And then we're going to jump to me.
Uh-huh.
I'll get my dumb shit out of the way real quick. And then we'll go back to you because it'll lead into our discussion.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Yeah, so the first song, I mean, this is a song that I come back to all the time. It's The Clash. It's called Train in Vain, and it's off of London Calling.
Which is a great record, by the way.
Oh, and this was, and Rihanna, who is a past guest, would totally know this. We used to do Sony BMG marketing together. And this was one of the albums that we got to promote.
You got to promote London Calling?
The remaster, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And my parents are currently in... They have the vinyls of this.
Really?
Yes, and I told them if they ever gave it away, that was like death. So they were holding it to keep it in a safe place.
Well, I have a Joe Strummer record. Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of my favorite... It was the first vinyl I think I ever bought. And it is insane. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's got a cover of Redemption songs on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just start to finish, it's good. But it's got this Clash song. It kind of sounds like this.
Yeah. So the Clash, I remember my cousin Holly got me into the Clash when I was just a kidlet. And this song I always come back to if I'm having a shitty day or if I need to get ready to go work out, I listen to this. This is on my workout playlist.
Well, you can listen to it. You can see why. This is an epic record, by the way.
I love this record.
And this is a record that everyone from, no matter what kind of genre you're into, what kind of scene you're into, can love.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I revisited it today on the way to the gym, and I was in such a freaking good mood by the time I got there. So I had to bring this up. This is one of my all-time favorites.
Nice.
Awesome.
Good choice. Starting off strong.
Look at that. Yes.
All right, so what's up next?
Oh, so it's still me?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So this one is...
We'll go through
a couple yours. Of them.
Whoops, sorry. I started it over. Yeah, we'll go through yours.
Mm-hmm. Down to the last one?
Yeah, and then the last two will lead into our discussion.
Deal.
Of the concerts. Okay.
Okay. So next one, this one's like kind of random and a little bit old. It's from 2008. It's by the Ting Tings, and it's called That's Not My Name, and it's off the album We Started Nothing. And I love this song. This is one that it came across as a recommendation just years and years ago, and I've kept it on my playlist since then.
I don't think I've ever heard of this band.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love them.
I like that drum beat, though.
Oh, yeah. Female singer, what can I say? I love them. It's a fun kind of dancey song.
I know. I'm trying to figure out where it's going to go.
Oh, it gets much better. And you can, if you want to kick it forward a little bit, you can.
That's not my
name. The thing I love about this song is it layers as it goes.
Yeah, it's... It almost sounds like some like pop music, only it's better, if that makes sense.
It's almost like it's pop music with an edge, like a true edge.
Yes. any good stuff about like Taylor Swift type genre? The only good in that is what you're hearing here, it sounds
yeah,
like.
So this would be like my version of Taylor Swift that I really like. Like right. So the Ting Tings, they're really fun to listen to. They're dancey. They layer like no one's business. So as you can tell, like it starts out super simple. It layers, kind of builds, and it goes back down. And then it layers back up. And by the end, it's just like exploding.
I'm
going to
skip
song.
Forward a little bit more. Do if it. You don't mind. Let's see.
See?
This is the kind of pop music I could get into.
Really good.
I mean,
that gives me ideas. I'm going to start recommending things for you.
I'm not saying I would like dive in head first, but honestly, I could listen to this and not want to murder everybody. Like,
that was
it's
cute.
Fun. It is fun.
You have to step carefully. You're like, I could do this. And I'm like, really?
Oh, I know.
And you're
like, okay.
No. Like,
I've got so much shit you got to listen to.
I know. And you're like tiptoeing out of the room. No, I'm good. So this is the Ting Tings.
Yeah, you are coming out of the gate strong. Look at that.
I know. What can I say? Been listening to music for a long time.
I don't even want to move on. Like, this is
you
fun.
Like it?
I actually do like it. I really don't want to move on. But
well,
the song's just about over anyway, so.
Do you want to go to Thrice?
Yes.
Okay.
I always want to go to Thrice. The new Thrice, though. I know. Let's let it play for another second.
See, and then it ends simple again. How awesome is that? I love songs that have build-up.
Good.
Because that's the one thing. We've said this. I've harped on this over and over again every time we talk about music. New music has no build.
Well, there's no build. It's almost like, and I'll stop it before we move on. It's almost, I don't know if these things are analogous, but when you used to sit down and listen to a whole record, there's a flow and almost a story that the music was telling, even if it's not a story. And I wonder if that has anything to do, now that we've gone to singles and no one's buying records anymore, I wonder if that has changed the philosophy of songwriters when it comes to songs.
I never thought of it that way.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It's a wild theory. Who knows?
Well, and I think that, I mean, with so much being done on the computer, there's less people actually in the studio playing. And
that's another thing is
you lose a lot when you do that.
Well, yeah, you don't need to practice for years and years to do it. And you don't need a lot of people to start a band anymore.
Mm-hmm. And that'll go back to our discussion later about musicianship.
Musicianship.
Ship.
You
I said it right. Okay.
You did it.
And like, you know, how people conduct themselves as far as like doing music and in what venues.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot to talk about coming out. Like big time. Okay. Keep going.
So Thrice. So I posted something. I was having a day and I always go back to the song Black Honey off of To Be Everywhere Is To Be Nowhere. And this one just, I mean, if you're having a day, listen to this and just scream it. Because,
I mean, before I play it, I just want to say Thrice is a band I never really liked.
Mm-hmm.
I would try. I had a lot of friends. And I think we've talked about this on the show multiple times. But I got to say it again. I just couldn't get into them. They were very emo, very whiny. They had that whole Newfound Glory voice going on, which I can't stand.
I'm like, a Newfound Glory just came here. We'll have to ask Adam about that.
Yeah, we will have to ask about it. Adam from Spin the Black Circle and Getting Lost. Because he and Clint went to that, right?
They did.
Yeah. So anyway, I was never into him. And you said you got to listen. And this is right when we first met, pretty much.
Yeah.
You said you got to listen to this. To this new Thrice record.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God, Thrice.
It's
another,
so good.
This is another person who is telling me I got to listen to Thrice.
Uh-huh.
And then I actually listened to it, and it fucking blew me away. Like, that record, what is it called?
It's To Be Everywhere Is To Be Nowhere, that title is just gold
to start with. And I would imagine the subject matter is pretty similar to their old records, but they just seem to have matured. The vocals, it's the vocals for me, 100%.
And that's Dustin Kensrue, right?
Yeah.
And I think he went off and did a shit ton of solo work.
And his solo work
became
is great.
So good.
So anyway,
so good.
Let's play Black Honey. This is on your list. And this song is so good. I think this is the single off their off this record.
And to be honest, the entire album is good. Start to finish.
Cover to
and
cover.
And that's not...
It's one of those records cover to cover.
Yeah, as I was say, not many records you can do that. This one you can. This one just happens to be my absolute favorite off of that album. And it's the same thing. It has that build. So, it starts off like really melodic, and then there's a point where it builds where you're just like screaming along to it. You just can't... I can't help myself. I love it.
Let me turn it up a little bit. See, the vocals. Seriously, it changed the entire dynamic of the band when he decided to grow up.
Yeah. And this is one where he grew up and he did a good job with
yes.
it.
Yes.
Like, the music got better.
They're not doing something that's super different from what they were doing before, but it's far more mature and intelligent. It just, I don't know, it reaches someone like me who's pretty kind of a snob.
And me too, because I listen to it and I just hear, I'm like, oh, this is like, this hits my heart when I listen to it.
Yep.
Like, you can tell he's screaming from his guts, you know? And that's how I really think that music should be.
Totally.
Like, if you're going to do it, then do it. And listen to that.
So good.
And it was just as good live.
Yep.
I remember at this concert, I was screaming so hard during this song.
Well, we've seen him twice now.
I know, and I want to see him again. Thrice, please come back. It was just sad because last time they came with Deftones and they were on this huge-ass stage and they just seemed so far away.
And they were Rise Against too, right?
Yeah.
That's a weird line. That's still a weird lineup to me.
I can see where
all three of those bands don't match together.
Can I tell
Deftones, Rise Against, and Thrice. It doesn't make sense to me.
I think it's a bundled, I don't know. I can kind of see it in my head. Like,
it's just mainstream packaging.
Yeah.
It's almost like they were like, well, let's just put three kind of similar-ish bands that will attract the same kind of fans, and we'll put them on a tour together.
Well, yeah, well, probably they did it because similar fans like similar music,
sure.
And so that's why they bundled them.
I'm sure.
And but my biggest concern, and this is terrible, this kind of sounds like you, I'm worried about them getting too big. Like, they deserve it.
Who?
I mean,
which one?
Thrice. They deserve it. This album was fucking amazing, and they're doing incredible things. Their live performance is out of this world. And I'm like, shit, they're going to get big, and then they're never going to play small venues again. And so it's that weird thing where I'm like, no, don't do it. But yes, do it. No, but don't. Because, like, the last concert was so bummed because I saw them at the Complex, and it was so good. And then, the one at USANA is sort of, it was okay.
And the Complex is not a great venue for those who aren't in Salt Lake City. It's bigger. It's like a big cavernous type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a small venue, whereas USANA is a big giant amphitheater with seats
outdoor.
And the GA is in the back.
Yeah.
It's outdoor. It sucks. It's a horrible, horrible venue.
Yeah, which that's where my snobbiness comes from. I like the small concerts.
Yes.
I like the more personal, hear everything, like feel it in your chest type concerts. Whereas if you go to USANA, you're so far away, you can barely even see the artist, let alone really. I mean, it's really fucking loud, but you're not really getting the same experience.
No, you're so removed. It's not even like you're at a show. Yeah, I would rather just listen to it. I'd rather watch music videos or listen to the record.
Yeah,
seriously.
Okay. Listen to this part. Don't you just want to scream along with
that?
It's
so good. Well, and if you listen to the lyrics are really good, too.
Oh, they're so good. So
let's move on to the next song.
Okay, so this is what I was saying. I was having a day, so I was like, I gotta have my song where I scream my guts out to get out all the frustration, and then I need my song to do, like, chill me out, but also, like, hey, if it makes me, like, adult teary, then that's fine, too. So that I moved on to Sea Change, which is a new single they have out.
It's also by Thrice.
It's also by Thrice, and I'm, like, dying. Are they releasing a new album soon?
I don't know. I would hope so.
I hope so, too, because this came out, like, as a teaser, and I was like, oh, please, God, like, release it.
Well, just the cover, I think it's was it a single or an EP? One of the two.
It's something. I want to say it was a single.
I think you're right, but at least what's on Google Play is it's a very similar cover to what was on To Be Everywhere is to Be Nowhere. Is that right?
Yes.
I keep screwing that up.
So
I wonder if it's just,
nowhere,
if this is a B-side or something.
But it's so good. It's, like, very soft. And I said I had to have my screamy song, and then I had to have my chill song. And Thrice helped me on that day.
This is good. I'm going to speed it up a little. Or
totally do it.
Move forward a little bit.
What, like, beautiful music they create.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is good. Yeah.
Isn't that pretty?
Thrice is just good.
And then they have one new one out, and I'm curious of what you think about it. It's called Red Telephone, and it's a single.
Red Telephone. Let me look for it real quick.
Oh, sorry, dude. I totally forgot to give it to you.
Red Telephone. Is it a record?
I think it's a single.
Oh, yeah, I think it is.
And so it's got a completely different cover, so I'm wondering if this is like what's coming up
2017.
Next.
Maybe it's let's see, Red Telephone.
And I'm curious because I want to see what you think of this. I kind of feel like it's going backward a little bit.
Musically, I like it so far.
Yeah.
Let's see what he does with his vocals. Yeah, it's all right. It's a little bit more generic.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more generic.
I just heard it and I was a little bit bummed. I was like, oh no, guys, don't lose your momentum. Yeah. You know, I was like, but I'm kind of curious to see what comes out next. But this kind of reminds me of older Thrice, which I'm like, ah. It's like older Thrice with the better vocals.
Yeah, which I think is good. It just, this sounds like something you'd hear on the radio.
Yeah. I'm not as big of a fan of this one. I mean, I'll still love it because it's Thrice, but I like the other two much better.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah,
without
the other two are much better.
So all right.
That's the end of my list.
Until we come back to the last two.
Oh, yeah. Until we come back.
I'm going to start off with two that I know nothing about either of these bands. Mm. And as we've been talking, I've added three songs.
Of course you have. Because if you did it, it wouldn't be you. You're so cute. I don't have any songs. You said that last time.
I say that every time. But the problem is my shit's all in the same dumb genre. Like, it's just whatever.
Hey,
anyway.
I'm just excited that some of the songs that I play today, you got happy
I liked
about.
All of them. I liked
I
every single one of them. I loved every single one of them.
Yeah, and I really want you to listen to the entire Ting Tings because it kind of feels like it tells a story. I love
Does
that
it?
Song.
Okay, I like that. I like it when they're doing more with the music. So these first two bands I know nothing about. I don't know how I came across them. Mm-hmm. It's probably on a radio app or something for some band I like. But the first one is called Redbush. Uh-huh. That's the name of the band, and the song is called Should I Stay?
Yeah, this is totally in your genre.
It's totally in my genre. And I'm going to go find out what the record's name is. It's called Milkmaid.
Oh, wait, this almost sounds like old Soundgarden.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like the Seattle grunge-ish.
Yeah, but it gets... Just wait, though. Let me... Hold on, I'm...
Oh, now it's
fun. Yeah, there we go.
That's kind of fun. That's a little combination of both.
But I'm going to show you the cover of this record.
Let's see.
It's,
oh, my God.
It's hilarious. It's a big, hairy chest.
Is that Henry Zebrowski?
Yeah, it's Henry Zebrowski. It's a big, hairy, fat chest with some chick grabbing his nipples, covering his nipples, doing the hand bra. It's awesome.
I'm convinced that's Henry Zebrowski.
But this is, again, the band's called Redbush. I recommend this whole record. I've listened to it.
Oh, really?
It's really, really good.
The whole record.
I listen to this when I'm working out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That would be good workout music. I can see that for running especially.
Like, if you're into Riverboat Gamblers, it's a little bit like their newer stuff. Mm-hmm. It's good. I like it.
Awesome. I dig it.
So it's a little bit more mainstreamy, a little bit more grungy.
I don't know that I would even... I think it's a little bit on its own because it's a little bit grungy
right.
and a little bit punky.
Right. It's almost in its own genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's like if you had musicians that were way into the grunge scene and then you got them together with some punk rockers and they're like, all right, I guess we can meet halfway.
Yep. Exactly. So, all right. That's that. That's Redbush. Next song I have is by a band called The Riot Before. And this song is called Words Written Over Coffee. Let me see what the record name is. Let me turn it up a little
Words
bit.
Written Over Coffee. I love that. Oh, it's already cute.
The name of the record is Fists Buried in Pockets. I've tried to listen to this whole record, but every time I turn it on, I just switch it over to this song every time.
This reminds me of Frank Turner.
A little bit.
It picks up.
Becomes more like Nothington and like a little bit of Red City Radio type stuff.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
This makes me happy. This would be imagine that you go to a smaller venue and this is the opening band that you had no idea about, but you end up falling in love with by the end of it.
This is the perfect melding of shit that I love.
Yeah.
This song.
This is such a happy, upbeat song.
From what I've heard from the rest of the record, it's really good. But... I keep going back to this song.
I feel like I need a big beer in my hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
I'm going to skip it for a little bit.
Totally do it. Oh, yeah, I love it. almost like Blues Traveler mixed with punk.
Well, the harmonica, yeah.
Yeah.
This is where it gets a little bit more like Nuffington and Red City Radio.
I dig it.
Yeah.
I love it. Are they coming in concert?
I don't know. That's a very good question. All right. So I'm going to move on. Real quick, I'm going to do one that I did last week, but I'm going to play a different song. So last week, I talked about the new Propagandhi record, which is fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It is so good.
He tells me this literally every single time I get into his vehicle.
I'm serious. Like, the whole thing, they get better. I've never seen a band. I can't think of any band that gets better and better with every release, and they've been around for like 30 years.
Yeah.
It's insane. I've never seen anything like it. In fact, I was... meeting with a friend of ours,
mm-hmm.
and we were drinking some beer. In fact, we're going to get him on the show, I think, in the next episode, hopefully.
Sweet.
Shane. And
shout out to Shane.
And we were talking about Propaganda and just how they get better and better and better. And then
mm-hmm.
last night I was going up to the football game. I got in a Lyft,
uh-huh.
and the guy was playing the Menzingers, and then he starts talking about Propaganda, and I'm like, this is just, like, this is a sign. So, again, I've been listening to
this
record.
Did Angel start singing somewhere in the distance?
Exactly. So, anyway, this is the title track off Victory Lap.
And so, wait, tell me, have you liked Propagandhi from the beginning?
Yes. Well, ever since I heard, I don't know if I heard, the first record was How to Clean Everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I heard that right when they came out, but from the second I heard that record, I was hooked. And they're way different now than they were back then.
But listen to that. That's, like, absolutely awesome.
Oh, they're so good.
Like, you can just tell by how clean and solid it is.
And they're incredible musicians, too.
And it sounds like real music.
Yes, it sounds like real music.
It sounds like real music. Like, you can hear the difference between the guitars.
Yes, right? Exactly. Yep.
And the technique of how people are strumming.
Yep.
You can't get that with keyboard.
Yep. And talk about vocals. I love this guy's vocals. Mm. It's like nothing else out there.
Stage name so good.
His stage name is Jesus H. Christ. It's really Chris.
So wait, are they coming on tour?
They're on tour. They'll never come to Salt Lake.
God damn it, why? Why?
I don't know. In fact, the Lyft driver, he said he lived in Montana or something,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, yeah, they don't come to America very often. They're Canadian.
They don't come to the U.S. very often.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we need to go to Canada.
We should. This is a band I would travel to see.
I would travel to see them too. We should totally do it.
Okay. Now let's move on to, this is just a legendary band. They don't even need any introduction. This is Fugazi, Waiting Room.
Oh, I love this song.
This song is so good.
Oh, I absolutely love this song.
With Ian McKay. It's so weird. He went from Minor Threat, which was a very hardcore band,
mm-hmm.
to this, which is more of an experimental post-punk band.
This is on so many of my playlists.
Well, and when they switch singers, it's even good. Like, I don't even need to say anything about Fugazi. If you don't like Fugazi, I don't like you. I don't know what to say. That's not true, but...
They're so good, though.
Just
listen to that. I am a patient boy.
I'll wait.
Every time this song comes out, it just makes me smile.
And if you ever see anybody... Oh, I lost my train of thought. If you ever see anybody with the Fugazi shirt or any Fugazi merch, it's bootlegged because they never made a single piece of merch ever.
Why?
Because they thought it was too corporate, too capitalistic.
That's interesting.
Never. Every piece of Fugazi merchandise you see is bootlegged.
Because I always tell people buy the band's merchandise at their concert because they usually get 100%. Not always, but most of the time. So I'm like, oh, shit, where did their money come from?
Well, they didn't make any.
I'm sorry, Fugazi.
But it's just Ian McKay. Like, he's the guy who started straight edge. Like, he coined the term straight edge,
mm-hmm.
and then all the skinheads and all the militant straight edge guys co-opted it. So then he didn't want to have anything to do with it.
That would be hard.
Yeah,
you start something and then people come in and just not ruin it, but change it.
Like FSU, that gang in Boston. Have you ever heard about them?
No, I haven't.
One day we'll talk about them.
Okay.
They're fucked up, man. Anyway, it's Fugazi.
I love Fugazi. It's Fugazi.
Okay. I'll go through these last two pretty quickly. Also, when I was talking to Shane, we were talking about Good Riddance, and so I had to go back and listen to some
Good Riddance.
And this is Last Believer. This is just classic. I mean, this is just so classic.
Oh, my God. So I went to that one day that I went to Gray Whale, and I saw the
which
Good
is a
Riddance, local record store.
Yeah.
And I went there and I saw Good Riddance albums. So I went, oh, Good Riddance!
Just always good. This is off a comprehensive guide to modern rebellion. It's called The Last Believer. So good.
I feel like I saw them so many times on Warped Tour. I feel like I saw them a lot of times on Warped Tour or when smaller bands came to Kilby
I've
or
seen
something.
Them. I saw them one time and it was the best show I've ever been to because they opened for AFI. I think I've told this story too.
We're good. I know the AFI story, but I didn't know about Good Riddance.
Good Riddance opened for them.
They're fabulous.
Yeah.
Are they even still putting stuff out?
You know, they retired. They broke up. They had a whole... They had a final show and recorded it and everything and released it as a live record.
Uh-huh.
It was like their big farewell. And then they came back like 3 years later.
The drugs got too expensive, I told you.
Well, no, they're straight edge.
Oh, damn
like,
it.
Big time.
Life got too expensive.
Yes, life got too expensive. I know. Russ
Adulting
Rankin is
hard.
In fact, I saw Chuck, I think he's the bassist, one time at the Salt Lake Airport, but I was too much of a chicken to go talk to him.
I wouldn't have bugged him. It's hard.
Well, he's with his family, too.
Yeah.
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 But he stuck out like a sore thumb, man, I'll tell you that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, there's that, and then where am I at here?
Like, aw, Fugazi and Good Riddance, aw.
Yeah, so aww. Good. And then the last one is, H2O is a band that kind of everybody loves, but they don't put out music consistently enough for people to really be into them.
Uh-huh.
But a couple years ago, in fact, I'm going to see what year this record came out. It was in 2008? That was in 2008? Holy cow. And that had been 8 years since they released their last record.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, they released a record called Nothing to Prove. And it was, when it came out, it was my favorite album of the summer. And it was on repeat for the entire summer. And it
awesome.
Was amazing. But this is the final track on it. And I wanted to play it here because you'll like it because Matt Skiba's in this song. Matt Skiba.
Okay,
I know
so,
how much you love Matt Skiba.
Alan loves Danzig. I love Matt Skiba.
Yeah, exactly.
We're okay with it.
And, of course, Alkaline Trio is opening for the Misfits. We're not going to be able to see it. Anyway, so this is called What Happened, and it's... I mean, it's just... This song is just about the music scene, just loving music, and the whole fashion...
I'm dancing in my chair.
Yeah, you are. We didn't care about the brand of your jeans and all the shit in your head. See, it's so good. Biggest part is all about the image and not the art. This song, I'm going to have a hard time talking over it because I could seriously sit here and listen to it forever.
I'm so distracted. I feel like I'm transported back to high school with my punk rock hair.
It just came too. I would have loved to have seen him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we missed him. Damn it. I've been behind on everything.
Yeah,
I haven't been looking
too.
At anything.
That's so good. I'm going to try and find the Skiba part for you. Hold on.
Thank you.
There it is. Your face.
It's Matt Skiba. I love his voice.
I know, it's great.
Oh. So this was 2008?
Yep.
I wonder if this was during the...
This is right around the time This Addiction came out, I think.
Oh, man, he must have looked rough then.
He's in the video. You can watch it.
Maybe I will.
Maybe I will. But anyway, this...
Oh, I love it.
This is the best song off that record, and it's a phenomenal album. Called Nothing to Prove. Go check out that whole record. We always encourage you to go listen, buy these records, listen to them.
Support the artist.
Support the artist. And you can find a whole list of what we have talked about over on the show notes at talkmusictomeslc.com.
Mm-hmm, because we want you guys to be able to find these if you like them.
Exactly. So we made it easy for you. We also have playlists. All of these songs will be on our playlist on Spotify and on Google Play Music.
Yep.
So all you got to do is, I think, just search for Talk Music to Me.
Yep.
Or go to our website, talkmusictomeslc.com, and we will have links to it there.
Yeah. Or our Instagram, which is Talk Music.
Just go
to me.
Honestly.
Just go to the
we
website.
We could get into this because I never remember what the Twitter is, the Facebook, and
Twitter.
The, and
What's
the
Twitter?
Instagram. Twitter's awesome, by the way. we do need more Twitter followers. That's the one we're struggling
Tweeter.
On. Tweeter.
Follow us on Tweeter.
Follow us on Tweeter. But head over to talkmusictomeslc.com to find all that stuff. All right. You have two more songs.
I have two more songs.
Play, and then we're going to transition into talking about the we don't have any songs to play for any music, full songs. I haven't contacted any bands.
Oh, yeah.
Play the songs.
Yeah, we've... Yeah, we just really wanted to record, so we're a little bit not prepared,
yeah, okay.
But we did
so
it anyway.
There just won't be much transition.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Let's get into...
The last two songs?
The last two songs.
Okay, so I'm really excited to talk about this. This is an album I've gone back to and gone back to and gone back to. The Distillers. The album is Coral Fang. It was from back in 2003. And the two songs... So the first one is Hall of Mirrors, and I love Brody Dalle's voice. Oh, she's got a scream. Girl, if I could steal your scream, I would take it. A voice like none I've ever heard.
Yep.
And so I generally go back to this album when I'm having like a hard day. Not even hard. If I just want to hear some screaming. I like the Brody Dalle screaming voice. And
yeah,
we're going to get into it. Wait. So she can sing this just great. But here we go. Oh, that's... Scratchy.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
Oh, she's got that scratch. You know, I love that dark and dirty side of people's singing voices. I like when it's scratchy.
Yeah, you really do like that.
I do.
Like the Chuck Reagans and the Tim Berries and. Yeah, so good.
It just sounds like she's singing from her guts. Like that's the only way I can describe it.
Yep.
Like when you listen to it, it almost like. Hurts you to listen to it, but you love it. Like, it almost sounds like it hurts her throat, it hurts her stomach.
Yeah,
like,
it's got to.
And so, this is Hall of Mirrors.
Wait, hold on. Before you go on to the next one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've made it this far without talking about Danzig.
Oh my God.
I made it this far. She does a fucking epic cover. Just
she
her
does?
Of Hybrid Moments.
Do you
I have the video.
It?
It's a video, so I'm gonna see if it'll play it real quick on my phone here. Ah, it's not.
This is
play
the
it.
Only way that I can really like speak directly to Alan is if it has something to do with Danzig.
But the good thing is,
it's like his ears perk up. He goes, "What Danzig?"
Everything has something to do with Danzig. Wait, it's loading. Oh, it's totally loading. Oh, got an ad. Hold on 1 second. I'll turn it down so Walmart or whatever doesn't get a freaking free ad on our show.
That little like ring.
Skip ad. All right. All right. This is. Hold on.
That voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. You can watch it too. The listeners can't, but.
Brody Dalle, give me your voice. I want it. Pretty please. Maybe just let me borrow it for a day.
You had your she screwed it up. She fucked it up. It's horrible. I don't want to hear it anymore. But look, she looks normal there too, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't look like plastic surgery because she got glasses on probably.
I kind of want to meet her. I'm a little bit scared too, but I kind of want to.
Her husband's kind of a dick.
Well.
We'll talk about all that.
I know.
Anyway.
Okay.
So, I sorry.
No, I love that, actually. Will you send me that link? Because I really like
yes.
it.
Yes.
So, while Alan's getting back to his music. So, the other one is The Hunger. And I feel like this was where you could kind of hear the range in her voice. Because she goes from really, like, soft up to screaming again. Which, I'm like, that's just sort of her thing. But,
right.
God, I love it. Like I said, if I could just steal her voice for a day.
Whatever happened to The Distillers?
I think. The whole thing with, which we'll get into, Josh Homme happened. And then she had another band called The Spinnerettes. And then she sort of disappeared because she had kids.
I mean, that voice is just incredible.
Because she can do pretty.
Right.
And she can do like dark, dirty, like scratchy. Like, oh, there's something like... That's got to feel awesome to be able to do that, to go those ranges. Okay, this is where it's going to change, you guys. Prepare thyselves.
I'm preparing. Sounds almost like a Kurt Cobain type thing.
Oh, I love it so much. Like, can you imagine being able to scream like that?
That would be insane.
Just let me borrow your voice just for a day.
How do you not...
Just for an hour.
Destroy your vocal cords.
I'm sure it's destroying them, but God, it sounds so cool. It doesn't seem like it has yet, because that video didn't look like it was from that long ago.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think this song is awesome because it's a little bit softer with a little bit of those kicks.
I like this song a lot, actually.
Yeah.
This is probably my favorite Distiller song I've heard.
This is the only, like, the soft parts are the only ones I can pretend to mimic.
Yep.
I can't do the scream. I've tried.
No one can.
I have the most pathetic scream.
Right.
It's dumb. It's so such a girly scream. It's like. See, here it goes. How fun would it be to be the drums on this song too?
Right.
Boom.
Good choices.
Thank you.
You brought it hard today.
Woo.
Good job.
It's been a while. I was really excited. So this is going to lead us into. We went. Okay. How do you want to do this? We went to the Queens of the Stone Age concert, but it was really funny because as we're walking
Hold on.
What?
Let's see. Before the reason why this ties in, why there's a segue here. Is that Josh Homme, who is the lead singer of Queens of the Stone Age
is married to Brody Dalle.
To Brody Dalle. Mm-hmm. And she used to be married to Tim Armstrong.
Of Rancid. It was a big deal because,
dating Tim when she was like fucking 15
years
old.
Yeah, we looked it up because then we were like.
16 or something.
We were
like
now I want to know what's going on.
Disgusting.
So she was dating Tim Armstrong when she was incredibly young and he sort of built the Distillers.
Totally.
And kind of created her image. And then from what I can tell, they were together for quite a long time. And then he discovered that she was no longer with him and with Josh Homme from a Rolling Stone.
I think it was a Rolling Stone photo shoot where she was making out with Josh Homme or something.
Yeah, making out with him hard. And I still remember when that came out and like everything just sort of exploded.
Right. But you know what? Like, I want to side with Tim, but that's disgusting. You were dating. I don't know how. Maybe she wasn't 15. She
almost
may have been 16.
Water everywhere.
She may have been 16 or 17. That's a child.
He
married her like the second she turned 18.
Gross.
That's disgusting.
How much older was he?
I think he was 30? In his mid to late 20s.
Gross. Gross, Tim Armstrong. Gross.
Horrible.
Yeah.
But Josh Homme is no saint here.
I don't know why I don't like him so much. He just annoys the shit out of me.
Well,
and then that whole thing, like the Cheater Peter Pants stuff, I don't.
Right.
I'm not a fan.
Because then they're screwing around behind Tim's back, even though he's a gross, disgusting person.
Yeah.
Even though I love Rancid, but still. Well, you got to be able to call these people out. When they're doing horrible things.
Yeah.
Just because you like their art doesn't mean that they're not doing horrible things.
It's kind of like Michael Jackson. I still love his music, even though he was very odd. And he, you know, still... To be determined what he actually did, but I still love his music. He still made great music.
Of course.
You know?
You can separate the art from the person.
Totally.
And I think you have to. Mm-hmm. Anytime you put these people, anyone, on a pedestal, it's just bound to backfire.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So anyway, we went and saw Queens of the Stone Age because I don't know anything about them. I didn't know... Their music.
Mm-hmm.
You played me some tracks. And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay,
this is pretty good.
Their recorded music is incredibly good. So I'm just going to start with that. Incredibly good. And I was told by multiple people, oh my God, their live performance is amazing. You have to go. You know, so when it like got announced that they were coming, I got tickets like super early because I was dying to see what they were like live.
Right.
So we're walking in. Alan doesn't know what he's getting himself into. And of course they change it from the Complex to Salt Air, which all of us always go.
So again, if you're not from Salt Lake, I love Salt Air, but
I hate Salt Air.
You're not from Salt Lake, Salt Air is way out in the middle of nowhere.
It takes forever to get out
it's
there.
It's out by the Great Salt Lake.
What is it used takes to like be 35 minutes?
30, 40 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
And it used to be like a big summertime spot, but now it's just a rundown, shitty venue. I just don't like the bar, the way the bar's set up.
I think the whole building, like...
But...
I think the venue itself is really interesting. I hate the parking.
The parking's horrible.
Far you have to drive.
Yeah, that's horrible.
The bathrooms in the building are just... decrepit and disgusting.
It's like this big giant. I don't even know.
Does it look like a castle? It looks like a big castle.
It looks like a almost. It's almost like
out the middle of
architectural
nowhere.
Style of like the Taj Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
So you go out there and it's in the middle of nowhere and you're on the freeway and all of a sudden
suddenly
it's there and it looks really cool. I just have a lot of great memories. The first show I ever saw was at Salt Air.
Oh,
I saw Pantera out at Salt Lake. Well, that wasn't my first show.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of good memories. I've seen some of my favorite bands out there. So I kind of like it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. But I know you don't like
it. I'm not a fan of Salt Air.
Anyway.
Not a fan.
So we made the drive out there, and
we're walking in, and Ellen turns to me and goes, well, I guess I should prepare myself to tonk Josh Homme if I have to.
I'm not even going to get into that story.
I want you to get to that story. That's why I said it.
No, it's not really my story to tell, if that makes any sense. Basically, here's the deal.
I guess.
This is not why I don't like Queens of the Stone Age. I want to preface this. There is a beef between Danzig and Josh Homme right now. And without going into the details of it, essentially Danzig drop kicked some guy who was smoking on his stage.
Uh-huh.
The guy was sitting there smoking. Uh-huh. And so Danzig went and fucking kicked him.
Drop kicked him.
It's just like he karate kicked him. Because
it's playing in my head.
Because he's Danzig and he can do whatever the hell he wants to do because he's Danzig.
God.
He's a senior citizen who is five foot 3 inches. He's a grumpy old bastard, and you let Danzig do whatever the hell he wants to do. If he doesn't want you to, just don't smoke near him. So if you're smoking on his stage, if you're standing on the stage, like just off stage, watching him play, be ready for him to do anything to you.
I would be quite frightened of him, to be honest.
I would do anything to make sure I didn't draw attention to myself. The last thing I would be doing is smoking a cigarette when no one else is.
That's true.
So anyway, Danzig goes up. And this was all alleged. I want to say this. Like, this was all rumors that were kind of whispering around everywhere. Until who was it? Some guy from one of the bands.
Wasn't it from another band?
It was.
Was it Foo Fighters?
No, it wasn't Foo Fighters. Shit, I cannot remember who it was. It's a band that everyone would know, though.
Bad Religion? No.
No. It wasn't a punk band at all. God damn it. No, it was Eagles of Death Metal.
Oh, that's who it was. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So well, this guy sense. From Eagles of Death Metal kind of confirmed this whole story. Okay? I said I wasn't going to get into the details. This is as good as I can do. And I will probably screw up a lot in this story. So bear with me here.
It just makes me laugh. That's all. That's why I brought it up.
So Danzig just kicks this guy. And for some reason, Josh Homme decided that he didn't like that Danzig did that.
Uh-huh.
And Josh Homme is like 7'12", which
he's
is 8 foot.
He's a huge
like,
man.
Anyway, he's a
he's
giant,
a huge, tall
monster,
dude.
Horrible beast of a human being. And he's picking on and he doesn't like that a old senior citizen, 63-year-old dude, who is 5'3", who is a good 2 feet shorter than him.
This is killing me.
So Josh Homme decides he's going to do something about it.
Uh-huh.
And so he, he went and bought a shitload of cigarettes or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like just cartons and cartons and cartons. And they stacked it outside Danzig's tour bus or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some dumb prank. Josh Homme thought he was being so clever and making a point, but he's not because he's a jackass. And Danzig, who, keep in mind, drop kicked a guy for smoking, which is what everyone does in the music industry.
What?
He kicked this guy in the chest.
What world is this?
Right? Right? This is insane.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So, fast forward to Riot Fest of this year.
Yeah.
Queens of the Stone Age and Danzig are playing.
Uh-huh.
Danzig plays his set, and it's his birthday. Why are you laughing?
Good.
It's his birthday. I think he turned 63, I want to say. And keep in mind, this is his birthday. He's an old guy.
Can you feel the love that Ellen has
for him? He's this little Oompa Loompa man just trying to celebrate his birthday and go play to his fans. Are you going to cry? It looks like you're going to cry.
It's so funny because I'm picturing...
Yeah, exactly. Well, no one could see what you just did.
I was just doing the Oompa Loompa walk.
Yeah,
so.
The Oompa Loompa walk.
Yeah.
So Danzig plays and they're done. And Josh Homme decides he's going to be a macho fucking rock star piece of shit. And he gets up there and he tells the organizers of Riot Fest that he is not going to play until Danzig is off the festival grounds.
On his birthday!
On his birthday! So Danzig has to get... He gets kicked out of Riot Fest, essentially. He's back in his car, and Josh Homme gets up there, and he starts doing a
a little really shitty rendition.
A really shitty rendition, sarcastic, fuck you type of thing. He's playing Mother. And he does a Mother. And so Danzig, poor old man Danzig's in his car.
On his birthday.
On his birthday, listening to Josh Homme destroy his biggest hit ever. Now, somewhere in this mix, I don't know where this came from. I don't know where in the timeline this happened, okay? But somewhere in this mix, and I think it was at Riot Fest, and it was probably before Danzig was escorted off the property by those assholes at Riot Fest. By the
I'm
way,
making the worst sound.
Last year at Riot Fest, Danzig saved their asses because he reunited the Misfits. Just want to say that. But now,
and
we're so ungrateful.
On his birthday.
So anyway.
Fuck you, Josh Homme.
Fuck you, Josh Homme. At some point.
You lurpy bastard.
At some point, Josh Homme and members of Danzig, not Glenn himself, but members of Danzig, kind of get into an altercation. And so superhero Danzig himself comes out to save the day. And do you know what he does? You know his big ass belt buckle, right?
Yes.
His big belt buckle, the Danzig logo belt buckle. He comes out swinging his belt above his head as if he is going to taunt the shit out of Josh Homme. It is the greatest story I have ever heard in my life.
Oh my God, it hurts.
This is better than the bricks in his front yard that his neighbors yelled at him to clean up. This is the greatest. This is better than him like canceling. I think it was at Riot Fest, actually, if I'm not mistaken, where he said he wouldn't go on because he had a cold and he wanted French onion soup and then he wanted a Wendy's chicken sandwich. Like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
And that includes all three of my children being born.
Please tell me that there is an animator listening to this.
Oh my God.
Who could animate this just to make my life complete.
But that's not the reason why I hated Josh Homme.
And you can have Alan do the description during the animation. On his birthday!
On his birthday! It was his birthday! On Danzig's birthday! Are you kidding me? What kind of heartless piece of shit are you? You got to pick on an old man who's 5'3" on his birthday. I'm sorry. That's not okay. You know what? Taking Tim Armstrong's child bride away from him, whatever. That's fine. You go ahead and do that. But you don't pick on an old man on his birthday.
Especially.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to say things, but every time I try, it just laughs harder.
So anyway, we go to see Queens of the Stone Age. And this is not long after I heard this whole story.
And he turns to me and goes, I should have worn my Danzig belt because I have to tonk someone.
Yeah. Well, I kept warning you, I might charge a stage and tonk him.
I was like, please God, do that.
But anyway, I did go to this show with an open mind. Mm-hmm. So I did.
Oh my God. Okay.
And you know what? I liked the recorded music from what I heard, from what you played me. It was good.
Okay, the recorded music is really good. What was the opening band? Now I can't remember.
Royal Blood. By the way, they're somehow involved in all this. I don't want to know because I like Royal Blood. So I don't want to know. I don't know how they were involved in this thing.
Don't tell me.
I heard about it, but I just like ignored
tell
it.
Tell me. You're like slowly putting the Danzig belt away.
Yes, exactly. But anyway.
Don't make me.
We go in there to see Royal Blood.
And they stole
and it's
the show.
Two dudes. It's
two dudes.
Was it a bassist? No, he's a guitar.
No, it was a bassist because you were like, I've never seen anyone do that.
That's
on a
right.
bass.
He's a bassist. There's a bassist and
a drummer.
There's no guitarist.
Oh, they were awesome.
But it's like Lemmy. He plays his bass like a guitar.
Oh, they were awesome.
And they fucking killed it.
They
were so good.
They were so good. And the best part was, I mean, the music was super entertaining. They're running all over the stage. You know, obviously they're really good musicians. And we were like hooked in. We were like, okay, let's watch this. And we were having fun. So then Queens of the Stone Age come out. And first and foremost, their sound was messed up as far as I'm concerned.
Well, first and foremost, the stage.
You had a problem with the stage.
Are
I
you
had
kidding
a problem
me?
With
they,
the sound.
They had giant dicks on the stage everywhere.
It's Josh Homme.
Like, they literally had giant phallic symbols. They were these big poles that would light up. They were all over the stage. It was almost like jail cell bars, so the anyone playing in the band couldn't move around.
So you stood between the bars.
Like the keyboardist and the guitarist had bars in front of them and behind them and on the sides of them. So they literally, every once in a while, they would try and move like they were actually enjoying themselves.
And then they'd hit the bars and they'd have bar, to stop.
And it would flop back and forth.
And then they'd stop.
And they'd stop. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
And it sucked because they're just standing there between these bars.
They're just standing there doing nothing.
And you can barely hear it.
Yeah, anyway, the sound. Go back to the sound.
Okay, so as far as I'm concerned, when you go to a concert, the sound should be so much that you feel it in your chest. You should feel that vibration in your chest. If you're going to go to a live show, that's what it should be at. I could barely hear him, and we were not that far away. And I was just like, who the fuck is doing the sound? The sound is awful. This is terrible. Like, somebody needs to turn it up, like, a lot, because you could barely hear the bass. Like, he was barely singing, and he was doing these weird scales that were like,
it was like he was trying to do an impression of the guy from The Cure. Like, that's what you kept thinking the whole time.
And then he kept talking about sex and drugs.
And getting drunk.
And getting drunk and getting
laid.
Whatever,
you know, that's
fine.
Rock and roll, whatever, I get it.
But it just wasn't interesting. And so, like, the whole time...
He's not offering anything. Like, it's not... Sometimes people say that and it's part of the show, but it's so out of place when everyone on the stage is so bored, and then you talk about how such a great time and I hope you get laid to this stuff. It's not like this is not Motley Crue we're talking about, you know? Like, this is fucking, they're just standing there being boring.
They were being really boring. There was like no stage presence whatsoever. And every once in a while, Josh Homme, who's this big lurpy dude, would do these weird Frankenstein-like
things, the dances.
Twitchy
Yeah,
type
like
of,
twitching, and his wrist would flop around.
And then his singing was just awful compared to their recorded stuff. So the first thought I had was, okay, they're a studio artist.
Right.
They sound great recorded. They suck live, which I hadn't heard from anybody. And then, so I'm bored, so I'm looking at the other band members, and I'm starting to realize that all the other band members look really weird. Like, this is a really weird put together band.
Right, right.
You know, like,
I would call it eclectic, but that's giving it too much credit.
Yeah. So it was incredibly boring. Like, I was bored. We ended up leaving early so that we could beat traffic.
We left early, and then we went back to your place, and I'm like, what the fuck?
What did we just
see? And I said, will you play me some of them? So you played them.
And it's way better recorded.
It's good. Like, it's good.
It's good.
I enjoyed it. And yeah. I just didn't understand it. But you talked to people who went to the show.
So then there was two schools of thought on this concert. So there was my friend.
To me, the crowd looked extremely bored. Even the hardcore fans who knew every song looked extremely bored to me. Maybe I'm just out of my element.
No, everybody looked horribly bored. A lot of people left early, which sucked because those tickets were not inexpensive.
Right.
And so I was pissed because I'm like, shit, I paid money and drove 40 friggin' minutes out to the middle of goddamn nowhere. And you guys can't even turn it up or look like you give a shit.
Right.
You know, and so that was one thing. I was bored. You were bored. People look bored. We ran into my friend Ellie and Chris, and they ended up leaving early too. And they told me, and Chris told me, he goes, it was terrible. I was so bored. But then I ran into other friends who said that they had a great time, thought it was an awesome show. And so then
they hardcore fans?
Yes.
That would probably help.
That would help. And it started to make me wonder, like, the difference between a band that plays bigger venues and they're more of a studio band versus a smaller band that plays smaller venues and they're a live band. You know, like, they could be a studio band too, but they have the live aspect. And I think I keep going back to, I tend to like the bands that are on the smaller scale that can actually play and do a really, really, really
good
job and, like, blow me away. And so I was really disappointed by them. I was bummed. To be quite honest, I was really, really bummed. I don't usually leave concerts early. I really, really don't. And we left pretty early.
Yeah, we left really early.
We left
super
duper.
They didn't even get
to
the encore.
No, I was like, I don't care anymore. I was so sick of his voice. Because he was,
sorry, that's not the same voice as recorded.
It's not, because either he was tired, he didn't give a fuck, or he was sick, or
it was
drunk.
More than being tired. I think his vocals are just so overly produced and processed on the
studio. Do you think that's what it is?
That's got to be, because it doesn't even sound like the same person.
Because he was like, his voice was like, he tried to do like go up and it would be like
just
a crack and it sounded terrible.
Picture the Cure guy. Just picture the Cure. That's just what it reminded me of.
Mm-hmm.
Just
no.
The whole, the gothic type of weird.
It was just a bummer. I don't know how to say it other than that. I was bummed. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, it sucked. It was probably the worst live show I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It's definitely on my list of worst.
Yeah.
Like, I was the most bummed. I wish I wouldn't have spent money on the ticket. Like, I was just like, well, I'd like a refund. Thank you very much.
Right.
But then it brought it up because, should we talk about Halloween or the other concert? Other concert.
Okay, you want to do Halloween? Let's do Halloween.
Okay, so this is, I didn't realize this until after. So I've been saying for like forever that I wanted to be Brody Dalle for Halloween because I think she's awesome. And Alan's been saying he wants to be Danzig. So we were Danzig and Brody Dalle for Halloween. And then literally like 2 days ago, I woke up and I said, that's hysterical because Danzig stole Josh Homme's woman.
Yes!
Yeah!
He had his revenge, even though it was through me. But sometimes I like to pretend that Danzig and I are the same person. So we're both really short.
Oh my God. So that led into our Halloween costumes, which was really funny.
Yeah.
And we ran out of time, but I was saying if we would have had more time, Alan was going to carry around like a dummy that had Josh Homme's face on it that he was just going to punch randomly.
Totally.
And like.
And a big case of, who was at the Halloween party? Someone mentioned like you should have brought a box of kitty litter.
Oh, a kitty litter.
Should have done it, man.
Should have done it. It was really fun. So that's what we were for Halloween.
Yep.
Which was just more hysterical, and we didn't even realize it was hysterical till like way after.
Yeah, you realized it. That honestly, that's super, I like that. That makes me super happy.
I know. Yeah. So that was our fun Halloween and our Halloween costumes. And then, so we went to Eye the Mighty on October 25th, and we did the VIP.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to go early, and they talked about their album, and they took us through some of their recordings and like some of the rough cuts. And then we got like little gift bags that included a blanket in quotation marks.
It's not a blanket.
It's a towel.
It's like it's worse than a towel. It won't even dry you off.
No, I think it was supposed to be a blanket that unfortunately got cut way in half.
It was a clever thing that they did to kind of help, you know, to justify the high price for the VIP thing. And again, you know, we've talked about them before. I think we talked about the first time we went and saw them.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a band I would ever listen to on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I were just to listen to their recorded music, I'd be like, no thanks.
Weezer made fun of them. They did like a listening thing for Weezer and they made fun of them. It
what?
Was so sad. I'll have to play it for you. They had like, there's some thing where they give like a more established band a song from a new band, mm-hmm. and then they say what they think, and they were like, is this Nickelback? And I was like, oh.
Oh, come on.
I was like, that's so mean.
They don't sound anything like Nickelback.
No, but
they
was sound, so mean.
Like, honestly, it's just emo to me. I mean, they kept calling themselves a prog rock band. I don't know what that even means, but it's like Coheed and Cambria. But to me, it just sounds like emo, you know? Like, mm-hmm. it's emo.
It's definitely like
how many
emo music.
Songs can you write about girls type of thing, you know?
All the songs, Alan.
When they were talking about the record, like, that was one that...
what did the girl
I noticed
say?
A theme.
That one girl in the front
she's like,
goes,
who hurt you?
Who hurt you? Yeah. And he goes, actually, this whole album's about the girl that hurt me. And I was like...
It's like, just like every other album.
Yeah.
Anyway, but seriously, here's why I like this and respect this band a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I would never, ever... If I just heard their recording stuff before, I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Totally not my thing, definitely not for me. But the first time we went and saw them, and then this was just confirmed when we went again.
Mm-hmm. So we went like a year ago, almost a year ago.
Yep.
And
it was the live show is what a rock show should be. And mm-hmm. comparing it to Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh my God, no comparison.
It's like, it's unbelievable. Like,
none.
Queens of the Stone Age literally looked like they were doing a job.
Yes.
They looked bored as shit, where these guys are touring the country in a little van,
uh-huh.
and they're just hitting these little tiny little venues but playing to people who love and want to see them, and it is a blast.
It is so much
fun. From
start
to finish, it is a blast.
And even the VIP, they're at the table, they're all smiling, they're all psyched to be there.
Yes.
And what
I mean, it helped
say?
That it was the first show of the tour.
Yeah.
I wonder if it'd be the same at the last show.
I don't know, but they did say they're like, we've been doing this for 9 years, and I'm like, 9 years and they're still psyched.
Yes.
And they're still playing
small
venues.
And it kind of reminds me
of
when we talked to Terry from the Jukebox Romantics. He, mm-hmm. He's the same way. He's been doing it for like 10 years and still fucking loves it.
Well, and it comes down to...
And that's how it should be.
That's how it should be. I think it comes down to anything in life. Like, if you can't find joy with what you're doing, you shouldn't be doing it. You know? And that's like...
Agreed.
And so, you know, in comparison, Queens of the Stone Age, that I consider a studio band.
Right.
Compared to Eye the Mighty, which I consider a live band, even though they record awesome.
They really do.
The lead singer, is it Brett Walsh, I think?
I'm not sure.
I know his name's Brett, but he has the most beautiful voice. Like,
yeah, he really does.
He has
he
a
really does.
Gorgeous voice. Like, I don't know how to put it other than that. Like,
right.
He can just beautiful voice. And
that bassist, man, he is
He's psyched.
He's just psyched. Happy to be alive.
I know. And so we go to the VIP. We get our picture taken with them, and they were so nice. And then we watched a show, and they fucking killed it. And we stayed, like, the whole time, even after. We were saying hi to them, right. And they were walking by, like, such nice guys.
Well, and it honestly, because they put on such a good show, it has actually turned me on. Like, I've listened to their recorded stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stuff I would never, again, like I said, I'm a snob and I'm so trapped in my shit. I'm so close-minded when it comes to music.
Uh-huh.
But all it took for me, for a guy like me, mm-hmm. to come out of his comfort zone and get into that was to act like you like to be doing what you're doing. Enjoy playing shows. Enjoy being there. Don't act like it's a job, Josh. Like, enjoy what you're doing and have fun.
You guys don't see it, but he's swinging the Danzig belt over his head.
I got my Danzig belt buckle right now. And I'm swinging it everywhere.
But one of the reasons why I love I the Mighty is because they have, like, progressively, like, reeled me in. Because they opened for Coheed and Cambria. I think it was 2 years ago that I went and saw them. Totally and entirely stole the show. That's when I first got into them. Then we went to the concert a year ago. Again, like, they're consistently really goddamn good. And their new album, which I totally forgot to write down, but their new album is much different than their other ones. It's a little bit more poppy. And
Where
the Mind Wants to Go. And I think they
Where the Mind Wants to Go versus Where You Let It Go. Is that it?
I think so. It's something like that.
Yeah. Anyway.
But they did a great job with that. I mean, the live version of their new songs are so freaking fun at their concert. Yeah. They're so good at the concert. And I think they say prog rock because they have the sounds and the keyboards.
I don't even know what prog rock means. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm literally going to Google, what is prog rock?
And so this is where, like, when I have friends, and I'm sorry to the friends that love the Queens of the Stone Age concert. I'm sorry, I just didn't. And my first question is, have they ever been to a small concert for a band that I would consider a good live band, and how that might change their viewpoint of it? I mean, some people have never been to small shows. They've only been to the big venues.
Well, and I also think being a super fan of the band is going to help, because you're still going to know the songs. I mean, I still think that if they went to a really good show, they'd probably be like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
And maybe they have. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to assume anything, but it's just you got to be a super fan to really enjoy what they were putting out. Because I'm sorry, Queens of the Stone Age, that was by far. I mean, I can't even think of a second
that show sucked.
Worst live show I've ever seen.
Well, and that kind of was on the same range as the last time. So Coheed and Cambria, I didn't go to see them the last time because I didn't want to. I didn't want to spend the money on the ticket, because the time before I did a VIP to go listen to an acoustic performance by the band mm-hmm. before the show, right? And you get a pin and you get to go in early. And I'm like, so psyched. This is going to be so great. The lead singer, Claudio, didn't even come out. It was the guitarist came out.
Nice.
And just said, let's get this fucking over with. And just was such a dick about it. The song sucked. Sorry, dude. It sucked. The entire thing fucking sucked. He was such a dick about it. And I'm like, why in the hell did I just pay money?
That is very frustrating, because you know what? That is so frustrating. Because
I was pissed, and I've always been a diehard Coheed fan. And after that, I was like, I'm not going to the concerts anymore. And during the concert, they looked bored.
Well,
they looked bored.
The last time Frank Turner came to town, he did, he was booked at the Urban Lounge, which is a local bar here in Salt Lake City. But he did a live acoustic free show at mm-hmm. Gray Whale, which is a record store in West Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there, and not only did, and this was in the smack dab in the middle of the tour, it may have been towards the end of the tour. And he tours all over the world. He's never not on tour.
Yeah.
And he sat up there and he told the stories about the songs, and he was engaged with the audience. And these are songs he's played a million goddamn times, mm-hmm. but he still seemed, he could have been faking it, but mm-hmm. he still seemed to enjoy it. So the fact that you paid, like, I got that show for free.
Yeah.
But the fact that you paid a lot of money for the VIP, and they couldn't even come out there and pay the fans a little courtesy and respect them enough to actually give it their all.
Oh, God,
or at least pretend that they're enjoying it. That makes me sick to my stomach.
Oh, no. Like, he came out. He was so rude. He played the song and he goes, awesome, it's over. And then he walked off.
And it was one song.
It was one song.
It wasn't a full, like, Frank Turner played a whole set.
No, it was one. We thought we were getting a whole set. We thought we were getting a whole sit-down set. And all of
Holy shit.
Like, there was a small, like, group of people, and we all looked at each other. We're like, what the fuck was that? Like, how disappointing. And that's... then the show was not good. The show, like, usually they're awesome. I, the Mighty stole the show entirely. I think that was the concert they opened for them. But they just, they looked bored.
Yeah.
And they, their heart wasn't in it anymore. And I was like, what a bummer. And then they came again, like, a couple months ago. I didn't go. I didn't bother to even go because I'm like, you know, I'm not going to pay money for a band that doesn't respect their fans.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of other bands that I can pay money and go buy their merch and have a good time. So, you know, to any band people out there that might be listening, like, remember why you're there in the first place. You're there to make music, and you're there because your fans are the ones that build you up. So don't be a dick.
I feel like this is a running theme on our show.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah, don't be a dick. Just act like, I mean, if you don't want to play music anymore, don't do it.
Well, what is it? Somebody asked me the other day, they're like, what religion are you part of? I was like, oh, it's this one run by Pearl Jam called Don't Be an Asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
That's how they used to open a lot of their concerts. Hey,
I like it.
We have our own religion. Don't be an asshole.
I like
awesome.
It.
And so really, but, and it comes down to just like life lessons. If you really don't enjoy what you're doing, don't do it. Like, go do something else. The moment that it becomes not good for you.
Well, especially when you have thousands or maybe millions of people who love what you do and are actual fans.
And you can't not be a dick.
And you can't go out there and just pay them a little. I understand you're doing it every night. I get it. You're on the road. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you signed up for it. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
It's part of the deal being a rock star. You don't get a pass just because you're tired that night.
And so that's why I want to extend a huge thank you to I the Mighty, because that VIP
that was,
stuff
honestly,
was so fun.
That was really, I really felt like it was worth the money. It was a lot of money.
But
still, nothing
it.
Compared to what a big, like a giant band. I mean, still, it was.
It was probably comparable.
But
it was probably comparable to what I paid for the tickets for Queens.
You're
of
probably
Stone
right.
Age.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we got so much more. I love the picture we got with those guys.
Yep.
And
well, even to sit down and hear the creative process of why,
yeah,
you know, like that's a cool experience you don't get very often.
And you know, after we took the picture, I went around and gave them all a hug, and yeah, I was like, thank you so much for making such great music. They were sweethearts. Like,
they were unbelievably nice. I mean, unbelievably nice.
Such incredible, lovely humans. And so thank you guys. We had such a great time. We will always come see you. And if they happen to come to your town, go.
Definitely go.
It's worth it. Absolutely worth it.
So to sum up the entire show, basically, don't be a dick. Do what I the Mighty does.
Yes.
Listen to Royal Blood.
Yes.
Fuck Josh Homme.
Not in that way.
No, not in a good way. Not in a way he'll enjoy it. I just mean, just he sucks.
Tonk
him. Tonk the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And Danzig's an old man, so please just be nice to him.
Especially on his birthday.
If you see him, be nice to him, man. Just flash him the metal sign and get out of the way because he might kick you. All right, this is Talk Music to Me, episode 11. Again, the website, you can find the show notes there with the list of all the songs we played and discussed, as well as links to all our social media. We'll put links to everything in there.
And thank you to everybody who listens. We just adore you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to our nerdiness, and we appreciate you all so much.
Yep. Website is Talk Music to Me, SLC, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Sometimes to have a good time, you have to dress a little lame.
Studio B Productions.